Introducing Mr. Jared Garrity, a gentleman of commerce, who in the later half of the 19th century plied his trade in the wild and woolly hinterlands of the American West. And Mr. Garrity, if one can believe him, is a resurrector of the dead, which on the face of it certainly sounds like the bull is off the nickel. But to the scoffers amongst you and you, ladies and gentlemen from Wisconsin, don't lap this one off entirely, at least until you've seen a sample of Mr. Garrity's wares, an example of his services. The place is Happiness, Arizona. The time, around 1890. And you and I have just entered a saloon where the bar whiskey is distilled, bottled, and delivered from the Twilight Zone. As the classic episode explains, for about $10, Mr. Garrity would raise someone from the dead. Of course, the stranger then became the overnight talk of the town. Though many were skeptical, many others were curious enough to risk the money, a lot of money in those days, to have someone raised from the dead. Only then the story takes this curious turn. As the story unfolds, people start coming to the stranger in secrecy at night, offering $20 if he will not raise certain individuals from the dead. The charlatan then leaves town, laughing about the con that he has just pulled off. But unbeknownst to him, the dead really are rising from their graves. And the show ends with Rod Serling commenting that Mr. Garrity's misjudgment of his own talents, and we see a view of a deserted Boot Hill Cemetery. In our Easter Gospel, we hear about another attempt to keep the dead from being raised. The chief priests are aware that Jesus predicted that after 3 days he would rise again. And even if they weren't completely sure at the time what Jesus meant by this, they couldn't risk an empty tomb and the speculation of his messiahship being strengthened. Consequently, they want the tomb made secure until the third day in order to frustrate Jesus' prophecy. So they conspire with the powers that be, and Pilate grants them Roman guards to watch over this tomb. In addition to the soldiers, a giant stone is secured at the door of the tomb, an insurance policy of sorts, in order that the dead stay just that, dead. But for our sake and for the sake of all creation, this insurance policy is null and void. As Mary Magdalene and the other Mary arrive at the tomb, they are greeted by an earth-shattering quake and the blinding presence of the angel of the Lord. The guards, those tasked with keeping the dead dead, become like the dead themselves. The tomb lay open, revealed, and empty. The dead are no longer dead, for Jesus is not here. The prophecy of Jesus has been fulfilled. The outcome that the chief priests and the powers that be work so hard to prevent have come to fruition. In the end, they were never truly prepared for what God was about to unleash. And this response of God to sin, death, and the devil culminates with the angel of the Lord sitting smugly atop the rolled away stone, thumbing his nose at these infantile attempts to keep God's plan from culmination. It is as if the angel of the Lord is enthroned atop that stone, serving as a symbol of Christ's victory over death. It should be noted that the presence of the angel is a very important one for the Gospel of St. Matthew, and his placement here carries much weight. It's the presence of the angel of the Lord that ties the entire gospel narrative together. It's the presence of the angel that connects Jesus' incarnation with his resurrection. The angelic proclamation to the shepherds at his birth from the womb of Mary is mirrored by the proclamation to the women at his birthing from the womb of the tomb. Prior to this arrival at the tomb, the angel of the Lord had appeared three times. First, the angel explained that Mary's pregnancy stemmed from the Holy Spirit. Here, the angel explains that the empty tomb stems from Jesus having been raised from the dead. In his second and third appearances in the infancy narrative, the angel of the Lord told Joseph just what to do in response to the tremendous events that had taken place. Here, the angel of the Lord gives the women instructions to go quickly and to tell the disciples that Jesus has been raised. The angel of the Lord serves as this thread that weaves its way through the story of salvation, a story that culminates with Easter, where the angel, propped upon a throne of stone, heralds a new reality, one where the dead are raised and the powers of this earth have no say at all. And on this Easter Sunday, we are reminded of this reality once again. But it is not by signs and wonders that we are reminded. It's not like we'll be interrupted by an earthquake this morning and no stone will be rolled away. But we will certainly experience this message of resurrection, this Easter experience, this event of Easter. For Easter is simply God grabbing us by the scruff of the neck and giving us a shake and reminding us all, you are resurrected. I have defeated death, and your life is now wrapped up in mine. Easter is the angel of the Lord declaring to the women and again to us, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. Easter is the proclamation that the dead don't stay dead anymore, regardless of how many roadblocks the world may try to throw at God. Christ will still triumph over the grave. For if the dead stay dead and Christ isn't arisen, then we are certainly off the hook. There is no ministry. There's no mission. There's really no point of gathering here this morning at all. But since, as people of faith, we declare that Christ is risen, we believe this as people of faith, then the dead don't stay dead. Then the resurrection for Christ is real and is real for us as well. And if this is all true, then we have work to do. We continue the work of the angel in proclamation to the world that God has the victory, that we are no longer dead. As it is sung in the Exalted at the Easter Vigil, O truly necessary sin of Adam, destroyed completely by the death of Christ, O happy fault that earns so great, so glorious a Redeemer. This proclamation of the gospel may, in all respects, be as easy as my 5-year-old put it when she saw me working on my sermon earlier this week. Just tell them, Happy Easter. Jesus is alive. Now, come and play with me. Perhaps that's all there is to it. Jesus has been raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Because of this, we have become an Easter people, a people of the resurrection. Let us stop working so hard to keep the dead in their tombs. And instead, let us live into this life given to us by Christ. Let us live the resurrected life, a life of compassion, a life of mercy, and a life of forgiveness. Let us go, love, and play in this world that God has redeemed for us. So, my brothers and sisters, happy Easter. Jesus is alive, and the dead will never be the same. Amen.